214-520. Help. The Hardline Helpline. The Hardline Helpline.
Brought to you by
The Good Feet Store, Milestone Electric, AC, Plumbing, and more.
Thank you, Ham.
520.
So, well, first off, we did the segment yesterday on the birth of soccer in America. And oddly enough, it was because of a Brazilian that showed up in our country unannounced out of the blue when Pelé joined the New York Cosmos. And we were all as kids. And I'm like 3 years older than you guys are. And so I was at the forefront of it. I was fully aware of him showing up here, of the Cosmos. I was going to Dallas Tornado games with my dad, all that cool stuff. And he changed everybody in this country by way of he created youth soccer. He was the one, the impetus. I was telling you guys, a guy sent me a link to a new show from 1977. And on that show, they were talking about in 1974 or 5, there were 20-something thousand kids playing youth soccer. 20,000, that's it, in the country. And by the time they ran this news report 2 years later, when Pelé was, you know, still playing for the Cosmos, it was 280,000. I mean, it exploded, dude. Everybody you knew was playing soccer when just 4 years before, if you were 6 years old then, 7 years old then you weren't playing and you may have never played. But yeah. Everybody, like starting out in kindergarten, started playing. So it was really, really cool.
That's incredible.
And this guy wants to comment on that.
Hey, Corby, love you and everything, but give it a rest with all this Malay crap. doesn't matter if some British historian on some documentary calls him Pelé, but that's not how we say it. It's Pelé. Doesn't matter if Pelé himself pronounces it Pelé. It's not how it works. Bob says Pelé right after you with your little pretentious saying.
Pretentious.
Pronunciation of it. It's no good. So just say Pelé like we all do and don't be pretentious. Please.
I'm not pretentious.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, you are.
You're sending a kid to TCU.
Oh, God.
That was pretty bothersome with your play.
Yeah.
Thinking you're better than us.
I'm better than you.
He had his pinky in the air when he said it, too.
Pelé.
There's no way you've always said it that way. In watching this documentary, you thought...
He was like, I guess that's how you say
have
it.
Have I been saying it wrong this whole time? And you adjusted?
He's Pelé.
Yeah.
Like, it's like the Chinese restaurant, except with an L. Pelé.
Yeah, he's not Pei-wei.
But it is...
I bet you, if given the chance, Pelé would have enjoyed Pei-wei.
Then why did we, as dirty Americans, start just calling him Pelé? When it was clearly,
well, we probably called
his name was Pelé.
Pee-wee.
Right? Yeah. Oh, Pelé coming in here doing that stuff. It's just so red.
That was just a little too pretentious for my taste, to be honest.
Yeah, it ruined the whole show for me.
Couldn't get out of your head. Pelé, why is he doing this to us? Why does he keep doing this?
What? Why is he so pretentious?
With his pronunciations.
Just help me get to 7 o'clock.
Every day.
I know I can push through. It's worth it. Gotta take care of my family.
That's all I got,
do,
man.
Do it for the family.
That's all I got.
Do it for the
just
family.
Keep going. Head down. Head down. Oh, man. That's funny. Okay, what was the other one we were going to do?
The old-time announcer voice explanation.
Yeah, yeah. So we had the discussion the other day about...
The Shane Gillis bit.
Yeah, the Shane Gillis bit about how every announcer sounded that way. The Walter Winchell voice from the 30s and 40s. And say, why did they talk that way when nobody actually talked that way? Well, this guy's got an explanation.
Hardline. I think the roots of high-pitched 1920s reporter guy... radio announcer guy voice goes like way back to early human history. Low vocal registers don't carry well over distance. That's why sirens use high pitches. So before good high-fidelity PA systems using a higher pitch, a shrill tone, it was the best way to make sure your voice reached a long distance. So if you're a teacher, a preacher, actor, like any other kind of orator, a shrill voice was the way to reach the back row of your audience. I think then it carried over into the early days of radio and wireless comms. As you know, recording speaker tech, it was still in early stages, nowhere close to what we've had the last 60-ish years. Think about the Hindenburg crash audio. There could be a lot of staticky air to cut through, and a high pitch voice was the best way for your voice to be clear. As funny as it sounds to us, I think the reporter's guy cadence and accents also contributed to clarity. Therefore, 100 years ago, the Sterminator, not as employable as Davy and the Cobra. Die hard!
Wow. I got to tell you, that makes sense.
What a wealth of knowledge that guy is.
Yeah, I've never heard that before.
Old-timey speakers, they were tinny. It was all treble.
Yeah. It's just so weird, though. It's just such a strange way, like you just walked into a radio station or studio or whatever, and you're like, okay, give me the copy. Okay, that looks good. Okay, that's good. That's good. Here we are today! Like,
well, and it's also very over-enunciated to make sure that every word stands out against the music that they're playing in the newsreel.
I want to know, because that's always been a funny bit.
The gangster voice?
How often, this would be something really funny to do a segment
on. Suck you right in the nose there, say.
The, meh. Like, did we kind of create that? Or was that actually a thing?
That's a Family Guy thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, Peter's definitely done that in Family Guy. But, I mean, how many people actually... Like, if you go back and you watch the old gangster movies, do you see that?
I don't know. That one sounds like we might have added that on.
Right. Stupid affectation. All right. That's good helplines, dude.
That is a good helpline.
I'll try to do better in my pretentiousness of... Pele.